AM 245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The near total ban on abortions in Texas will not stop pregnant women with the means from seeking the medical procedure elsewhere. Case in point, Texan Kate Cox.
The Texas Supreme Court last night ruled against Cox after she sought an emergency medical exception to the state's abortion ban. The unanimous ruling came hours after lawyers for Cox said she had left the state to obtain the procedure due to the ongoing deterioration of her health.
ABC's Rhiannon Ally, the 20-week-old fetus she's carrying has a likely lethal birth defect, say doctors. Middle East authorities report that a missile suspected to have been fired by Iran-backed rebels in Yemen hit a Norwegian-flagged oil and chemical tanker, the Strinda, in the Red Sea. U.S. Central Command says the destroyer USS Mason was rendering assistance. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the lower house of Congress will vote Wednesday on formalizing the ongoing impeachment inquiry against President Biden. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers and state university leaders will go back to negotiations over a deal on frozen pay raises and diversity offices. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the deal the Board of Regents rejected Saturday was his best and final offer. A member of the university's Board of Regents told the Journal Sentinel that System President Jay Rothman even floated resigning if the vote failed. The Regents rejected the deal Saturday on a 9-8 vote. Gas prices are falling in Wisconsin. AAA says the statewide average for regular was $2.85 a gallon on Saturday, down a penny from Friday. Prices are lower in Janesville and Beloit, where gas is $2.77 a gallon. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin remains in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The new AP Top 25 men's college basketball rankings are out. Despite losing by 25 points to the number one ranked Arizona Wildcats, the Badgers remain ranked 23rd in the nation. Coach Greg Gard and his team now face Jacksonville State at the Kohl Center this Thursday night. College football, Wisconsin Badgers receivers coach Mike Brown has resigned. Effective immediately, he's taken a job as a receivers coach for Notre Dame, and will help them get ready for the Sun Bowl. Brown had worked for Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Women's college basketball, the Badgers lost to the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-65 yesterday, but that wasn't the story. The attendance, over 14,000 fans at the Kohl Center. Hawkeyes head coach Lisa Blutter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, it's been fun to watch. I mean, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Chance of flurries today. Otherwise, mainly sunny skies. Daytime highs approaching 25. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 12. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 23.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Your podcast for everything gambling. The Zone.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Off and running on a Tuesday morning. Yesterday was a little blustery, I'll admit. The winds surprised me a little bit. Today, not a bad day. Sunshine on the way. Daytime highs around 33 degrees. Winds may still be noticeable out of the west-northwest, about 13 miles an hour. For tomorrow, partly cloudy, 39. Thursday, sunshine and 46. Friday, clouds roll back in, 45 degrees. And then into the weekend, we're still looking at temperatures that are going to toggle in the upper 30s to low and mid 40s. Morning, everyone. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad to have you along with us. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, also going to be joining us live this morning. I'm going to try to dial up one of our Wisconsin soybean growers that's in New York City. He's part of the Clean Fuels Alliance Big Apple Tour. They're in New York City to take a look at how one of the largest cities in the world is adopting and using biofuels, including biodiesel. Jonathan Gibbs from Fox Lake is one of those participating farmers. We're going to see if we can't catch him on the bus this morning as they get ready to head out. So stick around. Lots on the way.
What is dementia? Is it the same as Alzheimer's? What is vascular dementia, Lewy body, FTD, TBI, and CTE? If someone has memory loss, does that mean they have dementia? Millions of Americans ask these questions every day. I did too, and I learned. My wife, Ginny, developed dementia. I didn't know what to do or what was coming next. I'm Kevin Jameson, volunteer and president of the Dementia Society of America. I'm excited to offer you a free guide to understanding dementia. It's filled with facts about dementia, care planning, how doctors can help, and ways to keep your brain as healthy as possible. The Dementia Society of America is a national nonprofit, and we're ready to answer your questions. You want to live life to the fullest. I know that. Ginny did too, and I'm confident that we can help. Get your copy of the guide. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Thank you.
You know, from eggnog to that green bean casserole, a lot of us have our favorites when it comes to holiday dining. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. But more and more these days, families are choosing to try to eat out. Take a little bit of the burden off mom, or maybe it's just about location. Bottom line is, a lot of our Wisconsin restaurateurs would like to see you dine with them during the holiday season. But what are they creating as far as special menu events or special dining opportunities to try to bring you in? For that, I turn to Susan Qualm, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, to guide us on what we're seeing as far as holiday dining trends. Susan, what are you seeing? I guess the first question is, are people still expecting to dine out for the holidays?
There was some fear that we would see some folks not dine out as much with inflation and the cost of, you know, goods going up for everybody, including menu prices having to go up too, that would stymie a little bit of our demand. But it hasn't been as large as we were fearing. So that's great news for the restaurant operators. What people are looking for is that opportunity to get together, talk with friends, and what we're seeing is the, you know, let's get together and have what we call shareables, you know, like we'll all get together and we'll, you know, order a few different dishes and I'll share them and sitting around and enjoying ourselves versus, say, a formal sit down type of situation.
Susan and I talked during the pandemic, and that was obviously one of the darkest spots in restaurant history, be it Wisconsin or anywhere. Then there was that revenge travel. Has there been revenge dining, Susan, or is that something that we are going to continue to see amped up during the holiday?
Definitely. You know, we just have not seen the drop off that we were fearing in demand for restaurants. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's excellent for the industry. The hard part, I think, for us is now is trying to keep up with that demand just because a lot of operations aren't open 7 days a week anymore like they used to be. So obviously that means there's less dining opportunity for consumers out there right at the moment. But It is definitely good for the industry that we have that demand. We just have the other challenges every other retailer is going through.
Now, do we have, you mentioned shareables being one of the hot items during the holidays. And of course, like I said, I'm thinking about your typical appetizers. Is anybody on to something new for the holiday? And what about holiday drinks? That's something else that can take a short-term adjustment just to get people in.
Yeah, you mentioned charcuterie boards. Those are still very in style. We still have a lot of restaurants that are offering them. We've even seen, I haven't seen them here in Wisconsin yet, but we're even seeing charcuterie boards for kids, you know, on the kids menu, because kids love that cheese and sausage and crackers kind of feeling. So, you know, those have not left or gone out of style yet. But what we are seeing is that people, even here in the holiday time, people are looking for a combination of two things. Something that's more comfort food. Think melty cheese. So of course, cheese curds and those kinds of things are going to still be very popular in that shareable mode. But that people are looking for new and different flavors to go with it. So you're going to see different dipping sauces. You're going to see different kinds of flavors that go with that melty cheese. Or you're seeing, and soups and stews are still, you know, becoming very, very popular again, even though, and those are also still shareable because people will just, you know, have a little bit of everything that's out on the table. So, but we're, you know, at the holidays, people do want their traditional stuff too. And they want to see some of those old standby favorites that are deep fried and yummy that people like to share.
Well, and you say some of the old regulars during the holiday season, one of the things that pops to mind is that prime rib or something special. Once we get into the new calendar year, things can look different. Are we seeing restaurants still be able to accommodate that kind of maybe a little bit more larger family get together? Now we're talking post Thanksgiving, but are they back to doing buffets? Are we continuing with the prime rib specials? Are they doing something a little different for the holidays to try to get everybody around that table?
You might see a few holiday only buffets pop up, and those are definitely still very popular among consumers. They're hard to do for restaurants just because of the cost of the food waste that goes along with a buffet. But for the holidays, yes, we are seeing the return of the buffet, especially in our supper club era folks that are opening up during the day on the weekends to do those special kinds of events and run specials like that through the holidays. But you're still seeing the prime rib specials and others. The price point is just going to be higher. And that's just the fact of where we're at as an industry and the cost of goods that we have and the ability to put at least a couple percent margin in there on the operator. So that where was that? But buffets, though, as far as an overall theme, aren't as popular as they used to be, with the exception of the specialty holiday. And whether it's the upcoming Christmas holiday, New Year's Eve special buffets, Easter buffets, Mother's Day, but you just won't see them on a weekly basis like we used to pre-pandemic.
Susan Quam's in studio with us. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association. Always like to kind of get a feel on how our independent restaurateurs are doing going into the holiday season. And like you mentioned, I know it's become old in every area, labor, and then inflation on the top of what they're dealing with. What other issues are Wisconsin restaurant owners keeping their eye on, Susan?
Well, you hit the top two, labor and food costs, and how to make their menu something that there is no loss leaders. They can't afford a loss leader anymore on the menu. Everything has to be able to have a little bit of profit built into it. So that causes them to either streamline their menu or maybe drop a few popular things just because they can't charge the prices they would need in order for that to work. And labor, of course, but that's easing up a little bit. You know, looking at the data, we're still about 8 or 9,000 jobs, positions open compared to 2019. So we have fewer workers than what we did still in 2019 pre-pandemic. But it's getting better just because operators aren't open 7 days a week like they used to be. So that's alleviating some of that problem. I would say that right now our third largest issue that's on every restaurant operator's mind is credit card processing fees. They have become for most restaurants, the third largest cost. That's above any besides food and labor that they incur. The major card companies just implemented another fee increase, and you add on to that the fees that they are already being charged. It's pretty significant. And what a lot of people don't realize is that if you have one of those great cards that you earn miles or points or cash back, it's the retailer and the fees they pay that pay for those miles and cash back, and that gets added on to their processing fees. So those are the kinds of things that are really probably weighing a lot of operators' minds.
You know, just something to think about as we go into the holiday celebrations. You want your family, your guests, your friends to have a good time. You know that you love that restaurant and you go there. Just stop and think about a little bit more behind the scenes activity. We all see the cost of food going up in the grocery stores on your table. That hits our restaurateurs. And like you said, boy, credit card fees, there's when you don't think about it. You just always pull out the plastic because we're being taught to be cashless. But there's a cost and an expense that truly comes along with that. Susan Kwam in studio with us, getting us ready to celebrate the holidays with our Wisconsin restaurant owners. Again, happy holidays to all, and we sure hope that you're going to help those folks in the restaurant industry and get out there and enjoy Wisconsin. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Glad you're along with us on a Tuesday morning. Time to catch up on what's happening with weather. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, along with us. Yesterday, I had mentioned to folks to use their talk text line if they were doing anything winter-like. You know, I mean, aside from like hanging Christmas lights or something like that. The snow obviously is missing for a good chunk of the state of Wisconsin, so I'm guessing not much in the way of tubing, snowmobiling, cross-country skiing. And I got a note from somebody up by Beaver Dam that they had to rescue an ice fisherman on Beaver Dam Lake on Sunday because of thin ice. So, you know, there's those that just can't resist and want to try to get out there. But, boy, you got to exercise caution. Even on it's a chillier start this morning. That's not enough to necessarily firm up all that ice.
No, we're not making good lake ice around here, I tell you that. And I talked to some folks up, you know, in the frozen white north, Brainerd, Minnesota.
Yeah.
They're worried they don't have enough lake ice for an ice fishing tournament in February. They're already worrying.
Well, you know, I saw somebody else was, I can't remember if it was a ice fishing tournament or whatever, but if your dates are in the beginning of 2024, I can see where you'd be concerned.
Yeah, right now it just doesn't look all that hopeful. I mean, we don't have that big cold snap coming. I don't have that major snowstorm. Oh, there could be a little precipitation here late this week, but it's not looking like it's going to amount to a big deal. So, you know, not all that far away from normal for temperatures. A little cooler today. A cool front did move through the state. Yeah, you missed it, didn't you? The winds became northwest through the nighttime. That cool front's in the far southeast corner of Wisconsin, pushing east in lower Michigan, Illinois, heading to Indiana. Precipitation, what's that? There's a little lake effect snow in far northern lower Michigan and over into Canada. Nothing else to talk about on the radar. With that cool front moving through, I expect today we'll have sunshine. It was a beautiful, bright, sunny afternoon yesterday. I was down in southeast Wisconsin heading back home late in the day. The sunglasses were important. It was so sunny and bright and seemed so nice. Well, today we'll have that sun again, but we do stay on the cool side. And Madison might be one of the warm spots we talk about to hit freezing at about 32. Everybody else in the very low 30s or upper 20s. So a very cool Tuesday, no doubt there. But that begins to turn around. In fact, our winds become more west and even southwest overnight and on into Wednesday and Thursday. That draws more mild air in. So back to above normal tomorrow, up into the 40s then for Thursday and Friday. A lot more mild air mass building in to wrap up the week. And I expect we stay dry, and it sounds very comfortable indeed. Not at all what we expect in the middle of December. But then there comes that Friday night, early Saturday, very small chance of just a little light rain. I don't expect it to be anything much more than that, and that means, you know, it may freeze on a car windshield or something late Friday night as temperatures flirt with freezing, but otherwise a little light rain may be around just to start the weekend, and those temperatures stay mild. I expect those 40s right through the weekend, maybe cooling somewhat just into early next week, so still a very, very mild pattern in store. Not much to talk about for precipitation either. Hope we can all take advantage of it. I'll check those forecast details right after this.
What is dementia? Is it the same as Alzheimer's? What is vascular dementia, Lewy body, FTD, TBI, and CTE? If someone has memory loss, does that mean they have dementia? Millions of Americans ask these questions every day. I did too, and I learned. My wife Ginny developed dementia. I didn't know what to do or what was coming next. I'm Kevin Jameson, volunteer and president of the Dementia Society of America. I'm excited to offer you a free guide to understanding dementia. It's filled with facts about dementia, care planning, how doctors can help, and ways to keep your brain as healthy as possible. The Dementia Society of America is a national nonprofit, and we're ready to answer your questions. You want to live life to the fullest. I know that. Ginny did too, and I'm confident that we can help. Get your copy of the guide. Go to 1-800-DEMENTIA.org or call 1-800-DEMENTIA. Thank you.
All righty, Stu, let's have some details on what's going on for that weather. So today, the winter duds are definitely going to be appropriate.
Yeah, it's going to feel pretty good, no doubt. Sunny skies will be great if you can be out of the breeze and, you know, maybe not right outside. But temps in the very low 30s. I'd say freezing the warm spot at Madison, below that elsewhere. Maybe an upper 20 here or there as well. The northwest winds 5 to 15. Still a bit gusty in east and southeast Wisconsin. Gusting today to 25 or 30. Overnight, partly cloudy, and it does cool down to around 20. Maybe an upper teen here or there. The west winds 5 to 10. Mostly sunny Wednesday. Well, mid and upper 30s starting to improve. West winds at 5 to 10. And sunny Thursday in the 40s, quite likely 44 or 45 at Madison and La Crosse. Southwest winds about 5 to 10. Not expect those mid-40s Friday, Pam, sounding really mild. Friday, think about it, is the middle of the month of December, and we're looking at above normal temperatures.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like that pattern changes even into next week, does it?
No, that doesn't change in the next week, just that small rain chance late Friday.
And then I look at those poor folks in Tennessee that got nailed by those tornadoes and kind of crazy weather even on the East Coast, huh?
Oh, yeah, crazy there. Hearing about in southern Colorado that they could have some 6 to 8 inches of snow in the next day or so.
Wow. Strange to be in the middle of all that and yet unscathed.
Yeah, we'll get ours later.
I agree. All right, buddy. Have a good day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right. See you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist, thinking just like me. I think that's that Wisconsin Synod Lutheran. The shoe will drop. You know it will. All right. Your weather observations always welcome. Like I said, if you're doing something outdoors that is more holiday related, let me know. 877-301-FARM. That's the same line John Heinberg will be on before the end of the show.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The near total ban on abortions in Texas will not stop pregnant women with the means from seeking the medical procedure elsewhere. Case in point, Texan Kate Cox.
The Texas Supreme Court last night ruled against Cox after she sought an emergency medical exception to the state's abortion ban. The unanimous ruling came hours after lawyers for Cox said she had left the state to obtain the procedure due to the ongoing deterioration of her health.
ABC's Rhiannon Ally, the 20-week-old fetus she's carrying, has a likely lethal birth defect, say doctors. Middle East authorities report that a missile suspected to have been fired by Iran-backed rebels in Yemen hit a Norwegian-flagged oil and chemical tanker, the Strinda, in the Red Sea. U.S. Central Command says the destroyer USS Mason was rendering assistance. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the lower house of Congress will vote Wednesday on formalizing the ongoing impeachment inquiry against President Biden. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers and state university leaders will go back to negotiations over a deal on frozen pay raises and diversity offices. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the deal the Board of Regents rejected Saturday was his best and final offer. A member of the university's Board of Regents told the Journal Sentinel that System President Jay Rothman even floated resigning if the vote failed. The Regents rejected the deal Saturday on a 9-8 vote. Gas prices are falling in Wisconsin. AAA says the statewide average for regular was $2.85 a gallon on Saturday, down a penny from Friday. Prices are lower in Janesville and Beloit, where gas is $2.77 a gallon. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Wisconsin remains in the top 25. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The new AP Top 25 men's college basketball rankings are out. Despite losing by 25 points to the number one ranked Arizona Wildcats, the Badgers remain ranked 23rd in the nation. Coach Greg Gard and his team now face Jacksonville State at the Kohl Center this Thursday night. College football, Wisconsin Badgers receivers coach Mike Brown has resigned. Effective immediately, he's taken a job as a receivers coach for Notre Dame, and will help them get ready for the Sun Bowl. Brown had worked for Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Women's college basketball, the Badgers lost to the Iowa Hawkeyes 87-65 yesterday, but that wasn't the story. The attendance, over 14,000 fans at the Kohl Center. Hawkeyes head coach Lisa Blutter.
Yeah, the growth of our game, it's been fun to watch. I mean, you know, this was something that you only dreamed of, and now it's happening on a regular basis.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered.
Chance of flurries today. Otherwise, mainly sunny skies. Daytime highs approaching 25. Winds out of the west, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 12. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 32. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 22.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the Wright Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles. Those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now, if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat! It's got... Come on! Okay.
And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news. You have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
Breaking breast. Like breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The late night affair. Down goes the Eagles. Ben Kenny probably couldn't have slept at all last night.
On the job till the cows come home. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, we got a few people that are already on the job this early Tuesday morning. John Heimberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is going to catch up with us in about 15 minutes or so to talk about what's happening in the marketplace. And one of our Wisconsin soybean growers is in New York City for the next 48 hours, part of the Clean Fuels Alliance Big Apple Tour. Jonathan Gibbs from Fox Lake is one of those participating. I'm going to see if I can't catch up with Jonathan and find out how the tour is going in just a little bit. I'm Pam Yonke. Really glad you're along with us on this, the 12th day of December. Let's see, what can I say? On this day back in 1787, Pennsylvania becomes the second state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It was the first of larger states to actually vote to ratify the document. On this day back in 1787, on this day in 1972, The Poseidon Adventure, starring Gene Hackman, Ernest Borgnine, Shelley Winters, and Jack Albertson, premiered in New York City, kind of keeping that New York City theme going. That was on this day back in 1972, The Poseidon Adventure. And now you know. Well, we know that Wisconsin Farmers Union is going to have capable leadership into 2024. During their 93rd annual state convention up in Wisconsin Dells, Westby dairy producer Darren Von Ruden was reelected as president of the group. There were more than 200 family farmers that were there to talk about what's going on with Wisconsin agriculture and the food chain. Darren, of course, has been very involved in that group since he started as a district director back in 2008. He is also spending more time now with the organization since he recently transitioned the farm to the fourth generation. His son, Brett, purchased the machinery and 50-cow dairy herd, giving Darren more time to serve Wisconsin Farmers Union. One of the big topics for discussion was health care and rural child care for farmers and their families. Michelle Ramirez-White is the policy coordinator for the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and she said this has always been a major staple for them.
Currently in our book, we don't have child care or covering child care providers, and that did come up this year in the legislature, and so we had a lot of members coming forward and being like, we really should get involved, and farmers also need child care, and this is something really important to us as well. So it'll be exciting to be able to expand that section in the book, and so we'll be able to be really a lot more active at not only the legislative level, but in education and outreach as well with other organizations. So I'm really excited about that. Healthcare as well, we're working on and realigning. We've always had in our policy that we believe in healthcare for all. We think that's vital and important, and a single-payer system is really what we want to see. And we're seeing other groups kind of thinking of other alternative plans that we don't know if they'll work out. So I think with the timeliness of that topic, our members have really put forth a lot of enthusiasm and kind of reinvigorating a current policy that we already have, but kind of uplifting it and bringing it more attention to it, because we really have such a strong stance on healthcare.
Michelle Ramirez-White, she's a policy coordinator for the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Now, remember, during the Wisconsin Farm Bureau's annual convention in Wisconsin Dells, they too adopted a plan to try to offer health care coverage for their members because of what Ramirez-White just pointed out, the fact that it's difficult for a lot of farm families to qualify. So it does look like health care is going to get some attention down at the State House beginning in early 2024. Well, markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are holding firm. Right now, we've got December corn. Make that March corn up a penny at 482. January soybeans a nickel stronger right now at 1341. July wheat's up a penny as well, 627 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 155. The 40-pound block cheese, though, was up to at 160. Double A butter had a tough Monday, down 9.5 cents at 257.5 per pound. The January fluid milk, that's unchanged right now, 1646 a hundredweight. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. Coming up next, hoping to catch up with Jonathan Gibbs, a Wisconsin soybean grower that's part of the Clean Fuels Alliance Big Apple Tour out in New York City. What are they finding out? What are they investigating? Hopefully, I catch up with Jonathan in just a moment.
Bruce.
Bill.
How's business?
Booming.
Bountiful bushels of soybeans you're boasting.
Boatloads of bushels.
But how?
Bags of Zatavo soybean seed.
Bags of Zatavo soybean seed?
Bunches of them.
Bunches of bushels from bags, huh?
You betcha.
That's a breakthrough bean to boggle the brain.
Bill.
Bruce.
Best we give it a break.
An innovative seed packed with Enlist E3 trait technology and award-winning varieties for yields that keep growing and growing. Zatavo is seed done right. Always read and follow label directions.
Success. Jonathan Gibbs, who is a Wisconsin soybean grower from Fox Lake, is on the phone with me this morning from New York City, where they're already off and about on the Clean Fuels Alliance Big Apple Tour. Jonathan, thanks for taking some time this morning to join me. Tell folks a little bit about this Clean Fuels Alliance.
Correct. A couple of years ago, it used to be called the National Biodiesel Board, rebranded themselves, and the Clean Fuel Alliance of America. And the reason they did that is the advent of renewable diesel along with sustainable aviation fuel that gets made from the same feedstock that, you know, what we historically known as biodiesel, and biodiesel does still exist and is widely used. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to bring that all three of those fuels kind of back in under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm catching about halfway through this tour of the Big Apple. Tell them a little bit about what you've been experiencing, the stories you've been sharing and hearing.
So today we spent our day at the Maritime University or College, where they do train sailors there. And kind of the spirit of that is New York is, you know, obviously surrounded by water, and it's quite a densely populated area, hard to drive around. So they do move a lot of people and supplies and freight in and out by water, by boat. And, you know, I think Clean Fuels kind of sees that might be the next opportunity that we have in the biodiesel or renewable diesel world, is to help blend, you know, what historically was our number two ultra low sulfur diesel, and use the renewable diesel, empowering those ships to try to create a better environment, less harmful exhaust for the citizens of the, you know, greater New York area.
Mm-hmm. Now, this isn't the first time that we've had this kind of conversation with New York City officials. Give us a little history on the way we've been trying to work biofuels into their operations for the past couple decades,
sure.
Huh?
Yeah, in about 2000, New York City, you know, began blending biodiesel into their fleet vehicles around the city, the garbage trucks, fire trucks, engines, whatnot else, to try to achieve, you know, lower emissions from those vehicles, you know, create a cleaner air, less asthma, less cancer. And they've accomplished that, and they keep expanding that program. And I believe they recently announced that they're going to all renewable diesel in their fleet vehicles throughout the city. So really, really happy to hear that announcement and their commitment to renewable fuels.
Excellent. Jonathan Gibbs along with us. He's a farmer from Fox Lake and currently on a tour in New York City on behalf of the Clean Fuels Alliance. Now, let's talk a little bit more about where you see growth, Jonathan, as a Wisconsin soybean grower. I mean, keeping your perspective on how far that bean can go is part of the reason why you're on the trip.
Sure. I mean, we concentrate so much on, you know, how many bushels we produce or how we produce it on our farm, but we need to have a customer for that, and more than just the whole bean. I mean, most of our beans go to get crushed for meal, which is used in livestock feed, but also the oil. Some of that oil ends up in our food industry, which actually gets recycled into biodiesel or renewable diesel, but some of that raw soybean vegetable oil goes straight to the production of biodiesel and renewable diesel. Obviously, you know, we burn it at our combustion motors or you know, large freight motors and semis and combines, industrial equipment, but also, you know, looking at doing it, whether it's ships now or last couple of years with sustainable aviation fuel coming along the line, we can power jets and airplanes with it too.
Yeah, and you were telling me about, you know, we don't stop and think about it because a lot of us live out in the country, but for those folks that are in a congested New York City environment, that sustainable aviation fuel really resonates with them.
Sure, it definitely does. I mean, one example we're going to go visit tomorrow is Elizabeth, New Jersey, and they're in a takeoff pattern of Newark Airport, and every time that plane takes off, there's a percentage of that, you know, fuel that doesn't get burnt and ends up on the ground, and it does affect the health of their citizens in the city. So as we take a look at sustainable aviation fuel, that can be, you know, one piece of the puzzle to help improve that environment and improve the health of their citizens.
Well, excellent. Jonathan Gibbs, again, kind enough to join us. He's bouncing around on a bus out in New York City for the next 48 hours or so. Again, like we said, it is a part of the Clean Fuels Alliance, formerly the Biodiesel Board, and Wisconsin's a member of the Clean Fuels Alliance. Anything else, Jonathan, before I let you go?
No, just thank my fellow farmers for the opportunity to serve them and the opportunity to come out and learn something off the farm.
Excellent. Well, we'll catch up with you when you get home. Jonathan Gibbs, again, joining us, Fox Lake soybean grower who is representing Wisconsin soybean growers on the Clean Fuels Alliance American Big Apple Tour, continuing through tomorrow in New York City. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be catching up with our friend John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. How much are those soybeans worth today? That's part of our conversation on the way.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Your custom jeweler.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
On a Tuesday morning, time to swing out to the southeast quadrant of Wisconsin. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us this morning. John, let's jump right in. You know, markets have been pretty quiet overall for the past couple of weeks. I know some of it has been about the unrest internationally, some of it about the uncertainty right here at home going into an election year. Let's start in by focusing in on wheat. Believe it or not, that's actually been one item that I've caught my eye paying attention to more than I normally would at this time of the year.
Yeah, we had a pretty nice move in the wheat market after putting a low in there just right around the Thanksgiving window. And then we put a 90-cent rally in, and that was led by the fact that the Chinese stepped into the wheat market and started buying U.S. wheat, SRW, or the spring red wheat. They picked up about 2 million metric tons here, and it's just a series of purchases. And the market, again, was sitting on a short position. The funds kind of got a little spooked, and we saw things move very, very quickly. Now, the last couple of days, we've consolidated. Then obviously yesterday we, you know, with the market really peeling back about 20 cents of that rally, just kind of showing the volatility in the wheat. You know, one of the biggest things we still got to keep an eye on is where those global prices are. And obviously with that move, we kind of moved ourselves back into the expensive category. So it had to kind of correct itself. Now we'll see where it wants to go from there. We didn't have an announced sale yesterday after we got about basically four or five sales in 6 days there from the Chinese. So that had the market feeling pretty good. And that's kind of what helped us lead that little bit of a corn rally, as well as just some short covering. But that seems to have kind of peaked out as well here, you know, kind of acting as a follower to that wheat market, just as we got to continue to work through these large corn supplies.
Got to ask you, so Zelensky's coming to the United States to ask for more funding for Ukraine. We forget sometimes because we're distracted by the Middle East, but that is still ongoing. And that is a region of not just wheat, but other oil seeds. Are we hearing anything new out of that area, John, or is that ship, no pun intended, sailed?
That pretty much has moved past the market's mindset unless something were to occur that really could disrupt trade or flow. You know, early when when that war kicked in, you know, any headline was popping the wheat market. Obviously, we saw that, you know, last winter around this time frame. But now it just seems like it's become old news, even though, you know, obviously the tragedy or the human side of it is still a major factor. But the market's just gotten tired of it. And we're still seeing product move out of that region. Obviously, production's going to stay down. But there's still going to be a little bit of a player in the marketplace. But really, when it comes to the export side of things, especially in wheat, we're looking at things coming out of South America, Australia, obviously Europe, and you know, some other, you know, and Russia being the leader in terms of the global wheat market.
Let's talk about China again, because this is one that is rippling not just in our main commodities, but even food supplies, vegetables, things like that. China is apparently going through more of an economic contraction than they want to let on. And that's being noticed every week, whether it's soybean sales, corn, wheat, dairy.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, the Chinese obviously are the largest consumer of commodities in the entire world. And basically, when they get a cold economically, it affects a lot of markets. I mean, you go look at the crude oil market. One of the biggest reasons we've seen the tumble in the crude oil price is the concerns regarding the Chinese economy and Chinese demand and where that's going to be. So those are things that come into it very much so. And we really kind of watch that in all the ag markets. You know, when you get a news headline in the overnight regarding the Chinese economy, either stronger or weaker, or some economic activity there, sometimes you'll see that pop the market on the overnight or depress the market on the overnight. You know, so obviously, you know, they're still driving the world economy in that regard, at least in terms of still being the world's largest purchaser. And that's why we saw that in the wheat market. When they finally stepped in and started buying U.S. wheat, you got to understand, they typically don't buy that much wheat from us. It's about the largest round of purchases in over a decade of U.S. wheat. It really kind of got the market moving a little bit in that regard.
Well, that is actually some good news. Hey, it's been a while since we talked about, okay, we make the sales, but we've got to get the product to the world marketplace. How is transportation doing, here in the upper Midwest? Not a lot of snow, not a lot of ice to contend with. What can you tell me on how international movement's going?
Well, basically through the Gulf and the big, you know, we're still seeing some water concerns or river concerns in the Mississippi that keeps things a little bit on the slower side, but we are getting product moved. One of the biggest reasons I think we see some issues in the Gulf right now is not so much what's going on here in the United States. It's going on in the Panama Canal. The larger vessels, the big Panamax vessels, they cannot work through that canal at their normal clip. That adds to shipping costs because now we got to go all the way around South America to get to the Pacific Ocean. Or China in terms of those purchases. The Pacific Northwest has been a very big outlet for us so far here this early winter in terms of getting those bushels shipped out. So that's something we still kind of got to watch. Obviously, those dry conditions in Brazil are moving up into Central America as well, and the water levels in the Panama Canal are definitely a concern right now to the market in terms of those freight expenses.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is joining us live this morning. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. And if you want to give them a call, 800-334-9779. We're in that home stretch now, John. Everybody trying to get ready to close the books. That means auctions have been busy.
Yeah, very much so. You know, for the last year at least, in terms of talking to some of the producers, but guys had some pretty decent money if they had supplies. They hit the market this summer, obviously, with the prices that we had. Next year might be a little bit tighter year, obviously, with the amount of inventory that producers are sitting on, the cost they got into that. But it just seems like right now, again, as we're getting ready for tax season, producers are stepping forward, having to pick up some equipment, looking at some land, things of those nature, just kind of helping those taxes for next year.
Yeah, well, like you said, it might be the last year too. We'll have to wait and see. Very good. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, always available to you. Again, totalfarmmarketing.com, 800-334-9779, or John H. at totalfarmmarketing.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Some Christmas tree shopping advice today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. If you plan to have a real Christmas tree this year, be prepared to pay a little more for it. Tim O'Connor is executive director of the National Christmas Tree Association and says tree growers had some big production cost increases this year.
There has been additional inflation, but not at the rapid pace we saw in 2022. And so we don't hear that they're passing on big price increases. A lot of pricing is out of the growers' hands.
O'Connor says this year's crop of Christmas trees was planted about a dozen years ago, at a time when a surplus of trees was being harvested and sold.
At that time, the growers were not profitable. They were in an oversupply situation. Too many trees had been planted for the demand that existed, and growers were selling at below break-even prices.
As a result, says Connor, fewer trees were planted then, and that crop is now being harvested for this season.
We will see more trees come into the marketplace in the future. They're planted. They're growing. I've seen them. And in the not too distant future, there'll be more trees to harvest every year than we're currently experiencing.
O'Connor recommends buying your tree early because it's not likely there'll be a surplus this season. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky arrives in Washington today, pressing congressional leaders to approve more funding for its war against Russia. Republicans insist on tying funding to a new immigration policy.